Hello and welcome to the Eating Disorder Therapist podcast. This is a podcast to help you find peace with food and overcome disordered eating. And I'm Harriet Frew, aka the Eating Disorder Therapist. And I'm so excited to share with you all kinds of stories, tips, information and guest interviews to help you on your journey in finding peace with food. So thank you so much for listening today. Now today it's me and I'm going to be talking about how we can use mirrors in eating disorder recovery. Before I launch in, time for a short advertisement break. On the outside, you have it all together. You're successful, you seem happy, but what your friends and family don't see is that you're living in the vicious cycle of bulimia. You know that something needs to change, your health depends on it, but you just don't know where to start or how to move forward. That's where Conquering Bulimia comes in. It's a one-of-a-kind online recovery course brought to you by certified eating disorder coaches Sarah Lee and Merit Elizabeth. They know exactly what you're going through. They're both recovered from bulimia and have teamed up with leading experts to create an online course with over 70 videos as a powerful addition to your recovery. Conquering Bulimia is a private and self-paced filled with personal stories and coaching tips that will teach you how to change your behaviours for good. It will challenge and inspire you. And it's affordable, offered at an incredible discount of over 60% of the cost of one-on-one coaching. Break free from bulimia on your terms and start living the life of peace you deserve at conqueringbulimia.com. Link is in the show notes. So today, we're going to talk about mirror exposure therapy, which is something that can be used in eating disorder recovery. So mirror exposure therapy, it's a behavioral treatment used in therapy or outside to treat body image concerns, and it can be really helpful for anyone who's recovering from an eating disorder. Now, it's very likely that if you have an eating disorder, you probably have quite an unhealthy relationship with the mirror. So you may either be body checking numerous times per day, or you might avoid mirrors completely. It tends to be a bit all or nothing, and neither approach is that helpful. If you body check, you're probably likely focusing on specific parts of your body, maybe stomach or legs, and you don't view your body as a whole or look at the background too. And of course, what we focus on tends to expand. If you are giving long bouts of attention to your most disliked body part, you're going to feel dissatisfied and unhappy, and you're literally collecting evidence to support your dissatisfied views. So we know that bodybuilders, supposedly striving for that ideal physique, in air quotes, will express very high levels of body dissatisfaction as they progress on their journey. Minute changes and muscle symmetry, etc., all become something to dissect and judge. And it's very hard to feel good enough. And part of the problem is because during this phase, the focus on the body has become excessive, you know, a real preoccupation. So how does mirror exposure therapy work? So in a typical mirror exposure therapy session, you would wear sort of revealing clothes, and what you would be doing is observing your body in the mirror. Now, when we say revealing clothes, I think it doesn't have to necessarily be literally in your pants or bra and knickers. You could be wearing something like shorts maybe, or a vest top, or I guess something in a way that you want to feel semi-comfortable in, but also you don't want to feel really, really exposed. Also as well, you may, if you're doing it in therapy, you may want to do it with someone, obviously a therapist who you feel really safe with. It may be important as well to think about kind of gender of your therapist and how that makes you feel sort of comfortable or not, and just to really consider all of these things before you would even engage. But I guess, to be honest with you, if you're going to do this in therapy, you would really be discussing it with your therapist in advance. And it would be really, really important to have a relationship there where there's a lot of trust and you have really talked about it and you feel a lot of safety, because it is something that can be very out of your comfort zone. That is really, really understandable. So I'm going to talk about three different kinds of mirror exposure therapy. And I just want to say as well that before I launch into it, that I think many people might find the idea of this extremely challenging. And it's sad to consider how hard we can be on ourselves in relation to our bodies. So it's something as well, you know, before you launch into doing it, you might want to do it in the safety of therapy or with a trusted person, you know, maybe a member of your family or a really good friend. And also, you might want to just start off with short sessions and to build up to longer ones. So you could almost start with 5 minutes maximum and see how this goes. Also, you want to be in a really safe space where you're undisturbed, where it's relaxing as possible, where you feel, you know, that your environment is very supportive of you. And I guess it's just starting with where you're at. And if you're not really ready for a full length exposure to your body yet, you might want to start with like hands or like your lower arm or your elbow or something that just feels a bit safer. And you may want to do that in a smaller mirror and then build up maybe to more full exposure therapy. Okay, so let's talk about different types of mirror exposure therapy. So number one is guided non-judgmental mirror exposure therapy. So in this first type of therapy, you stand in front of the mirror and you just simply name and describe body parts. So you do this using neutral and objective terms. So for instance, you might describe your head's texture, color, shape, etc. And then move to your hair, maybe then your eyes, your lips, your ears, different parts of your face, and then moving down your body. Now, as I've said, if this feels extremely challenging to kind of look at your body in sort of full view to start with, and maybe to focus on your head or your face, you might want to start with an area of your body that feels safer and, you know, just really build up slowly. You don't have to do like a full blown mirror exposure straight away. Now, the key is as well that when you're making statements that you make neutral, factual, observational, non-judgmental, objective statements. So in the same way, if I was describing my cat Bruce in this manner, I might say he's got piercing green eyes. He has a black coat with white patches on his face and paws. His hair is medium length. His tail curves to the left. So we're quite factual, quite objective. So note as well that we're not really putting lots of emotion or any judgment in here. We're trying to stay neutral and factual. Okay, so that's the whole point of it. The next one is pure mirror exposure therapy. Now, and this is another variation. And when you look in the mirror, in this instance, you express emotions or feelings you experience as you look at your body. Now, I want to say with this, this can feel extremely challenging and you might experience strong negative emotions, particularly if you are incredibly hard on yourself in relation to body image. And often we can avoid certain body parts and we can have this huge anxiety kind of building, or we might be focusing incessantly on them with a distorted view, and then this brings like feelings of dissatisfaction and overwhelm. So I thought I'd have a go myself at doing this and, you know, just seeing how I felt about doing it. So what I really noticed as well is when I was looking at my tummy, I had 3 children in quite quick succession. So my tummy has quite a lot of loose skin and it does actually look objectively like a burst balloon. So when I was looking at my tummy, I found that although I don't like the look of my stomach aesthetically, maybe I feel a bit of unease about it, I feel a bit of disappointment. What I found that was also quite interesting is it also brought feelings up of wonderment and appreciation that my body was able to go through this birthing process. So it's quite interesting really, because I think you don't really quite know what's going to come up for you when you go through that process. And it might be really, really important to have someone supportive with you if you do experience distress. And you might want to really think in advance how you're going to support yourself if it is difficult. But I think, again, actually, it's very helpful and quite validating experience to actually just engage with a body part sometimes that you might be avoiding. Now, I wouldn't tend to spend a lot of time looking at my tummy. You know, I wouldn't say actively avoid it, but it's not something I really engage with on a regular basis. But I found that even just that exercise of looking at my tummy and then thinking about the feelings I was feeling, actually, I find that's been quite helpful. And although I can, you know, acknowledge quite peacefully, actually, that I don't like the look of my tummy, you know, maybe I feel some unease and disappointment about its burst balloon look, actually, other deeper feelings around what my body can actually do actually were very, very helpful. And I want to be very clear here as well that you may look at your body and you may find it really challenging to feel any feelings of appreciation. That is okay. There is no right or wrong here. You are just doing this as an experiment, just to see what happens and what comes up for you. So a third type of mirror exposure therapy is mirror exposure with a positive focus. So this can be a variation where you focus on your favorite body parts and you use positive body language only. So for example, instead of talking about your problem areas, you might say, "I love my fingers, they are so long and beautiful." Now, I know myself that I've almost trained myself to do this quite unconsciously. Now, when I look in the mirror, I tend to focus on my hair, you know, the fact that I've got curls, I've got long hair, I quite like my hair, I look at my blue eyes, I look at my arms, maybe that are quite toned, and I don't pay attention to the fact that I'm pear-shaped, that I have loose skin on my tummy, that I'm getting more wrinkly by the day. I focus on the parts of my body that I like, and this certainly helps with my body image. So this is something, again, I think there's no right or wrong way to approach the mirror exposure therapy, but again, you could experiment with this and see if it is something that is helpful, because of course what we focus on expands, and I think why not focus on parts of your body that you can be more positive about. Now I think, again, you may be listening and thinking, well, I can't be positive about any area of my body, but I think start really small, okay? It can be very underwhelming to begin with. You know, maybe it's like your elbows or your fingernails or something. Start really, really small, okay? And work up from this. Right, time for a short advertisement break. I know that we talk a lot about food freedom on this podcast and how important it is to take care of yourself mentally and physically as you learn to navigate a culture inundated with toxic messaging. Now, one of the best ways to take care of yourself is through exercise, but I know it can be really hard to find an exercise program that isn't rooted in these toxic messages and doesn't feel triggering. Well, I recently met Katie, the owner of an amazing new exercise company called WeShape. WeShape doesn't focus on calorie counting, tracking how much you work out, or making you feel bad about your body to get you motivated. Instead, they create a customized exercise routine for you that helps you connect with and care for your body rather than feeling pressure to change it. And they help you to learn to set intentions that come from a place of self-care rather than self-judgment, and they support you every step of the way with an amazing community and live coaching so you can make exercise a self-care practice that helps you feel better in your body and about your body. Plus, they're giving listeners of the show the chance to try it out for 2 full weeks for free. Just head on over to weshape.com/freedom or check out the link in the show notes to get started today. Right, so let's move on now to think about how does mirror exposure therapy work, and I'm going to talk about 4 ways that can be beneficial. So number one, it helps you interpret situations differently. So if you have an eating disorder, you will often blame everything on your body. So if you have an argument with someone, you'll find yourself berating your body, judging it harshly, even though this has nothing to do with the argument. So through mirror exposure therapy and developing a more objective and neutral view of one's body, it helps to reduce this effect. And you can realize that the argument is down to a difference of opinion and it really has nothing to do with your poor body. So it can help you just have that slight sort of separation between, rather than always just projecting everything on your body, blaming your poor body for everything, you can stand back and be a bit more objective. Number two, altering that biased attention on specific body parts. Now, what we all tend to do is focus with this attentional bias and focus on what we might perceive to be our problem areas. So we might have things that we describe like our bingo wings or our double chin or our saggy stomach, etc. So through this cognitive retraining, this therapy helps you to stop seeing your body through the filter of some flawed part and instead encourages you to spread your attention across your body and to find a more balanced focus. Okay, because I think we all do this. We all look in the mirror, we zoom in on the bits we don't like, and we have these horrible labels that we attach to different body parts, and this is not helpful. So it alters this biased attention. It helps us to view our body more as a whole and from a much more neutral stance, which is very, very beneficial. Number three, facing fears. So in exposure therapy, this requires confronting the source of your fear. So in exposure therapy generally, if we are working to overcome a fear of spiders or overcome a fear of foods, different food types, we would gradually expose ourselves to those foods and then you become more comfortable. So if we think of mirror exposure therapy in this way as well, then you're being asked to face your fears around body image, and this can be really, really helpful. So the assumption is that after observing the body repeatedly in an objective and focused manner, habituation takes place so that your physical appearance no longer has the power to cause distress and anguish. So this may be needing to be repeated many, many times before you feel much less distress and anguish. But if you think about maybe other areas of your life where you have faced your fears and how you have become much more neutral towards those things as you have overcome your fears, it will give you the encouragement that you can also achieve the same with your body image. And number four, cognitive dissonance. So another possibility is this therapy creates cognitive dissonance, which then motivates change. So cognitive dissonance refers to discomfort associated with conflict between behaviours and or beliefs that do not agree. So for example, a person who repeatedly describes her stomach as white and somewhat rounded is contradicting her negative beliefs that her stomach is too fat or disgusting and flabby. Now, initially in mirror exposure therapy, this dissonance may show up by someone actually doubting the truth of the neutral words they're speaking, but in time, they're likely to begin doubting their negative beliefs instead. So if you think as well about this situation, there's quite a difference, isn't there, between saying, my stomach is white and somewhat rounded, compared to this is just too fat or disgusting and flabby. There is a real difference there. Now think as well about how you would talk to a friend in this situation. You would be 100% kinder, and absolutely you deserve the same. So is mirror exposure therapy actually really effective? Well, Griffin et al. Performed a literature search for clinical trials assessing the efficacy of mirror exposure therapy and found support for its effectiveness in healthy individuals and those with eating disorders. And I think that's so helpful, isn't it, just to recognise that even in healthy individuals, because of Western culture is so into thin idealisation, weight stigma, fat phobia, berating bodies, etc., most people could probably benefit from a bit of mirror exposure therapy. So mirror exposure therapy was shown to reduce distress, negative thoughts, and body dissatisfaction. And in a few trials, it even improved eating behaviour. So although mirror exposure therapy appears to be effective in some groups, e.g. those with eating disorders, its efficacy remains to be proven in other groups. So for example, individuals with clinical depression, those with a history of self-harm, people who are significantly overweight or underweight, and also in men. So it's also still quite under-researched. So I think the takeaway from this is that mirror exposure therapy can be helpful, but I think obviously, if you were in one of those groups that I mentioned at the end, and you know, there's less research that backs up the efficacy of it. So I think it's something that we need to approach with kind of caution and in a safe environment. Really important as well, you need to be in a safe environment and build up slowly. So maybe starting with a part of your body that you feel more comfortable with, rather than exposing your whole body to begin with, or maybe starting with just doing it for a couple of minutes and building up from that. Also, you might want to do it with a therapist or a trusted person in your life if this feels really unsafe. And I think really important, you know, take care of yourself and trust what feels manageable for you right now. You know, I think it's something that can be a really, really beneficial tool for some people, but for some people, maybe they are not ready yet, or maybe it's not the right kind of therapy for them. But anyway, I hope this has given you something just to kind of reflect on, excuse the pun, and you might then think about just your use of mirrors going forward and maybe whether you want to engage in mirror exposure therapy. Okay, well, I hope you have found this episode to be helpful and something to think about. If you're not following me already on Instagram, do seek me out, @theeatingdisordertherapist_. And for further support with your relationship with food, do go to theeatingdisordertherapist.co.uk. You may be interested in my online courses, so I have some for professionals around body image and eating disorders, and I have some for potential clients as well, 10 Steps Towards Intuitive Eating, and my 12-module Overcoming Bulimia course. So go to theeatingdisordertherapist.co.uk if you want to find out more. Thank you so much for listening today, and I look forward to sharing another podcast episode with you very soon.